This is Stateside. I'm April Baer.
The U.S. Supreme Court this morning issued a landmark decision that extended workplace civil rights protections to LGBTQ people. One of the cases considered in the arguments was that of Amy Stevens, a transgender woman who was fired from her job at a funeral home after telling her boss she was transgender and transitioning to living as a woman. Amy Stevens died just a couple of weeks ago after a prolonged period of declining health and kidney failure. Stateside spoke with Amy last fall about her case. Let's listen to her in her own words, describing what was at stake.
The fact that an LGBTQ person can be fired from their job, they can be denied housing, any number of things, is not right. We're not asking for anything special. We just want the same basic human rights that everybody else has. And so far, we don't have those. We've been denied, and the way things appear, they would like to just erase us altogether, saying that we don't exist. But we do exist. We've always been here. And we always will be here, regardless of what they choose.
That's Amy Stevens speaking with Stateside in 2019. Jay Kaplan is a staff attorney for the LGBT Project at the ACLU of Michigan, which represented Amy Stevens. Jay Kaplan, welcome back to Stateside.
Thank you. Good to be here.
How would you characterize the scale and scope of this decision?
This is huge. This is really a historic decision. The court has reaffirmed many lower federal court decisions that have held that transgender people are protected against discrimination under federal civil rights laws that prohibit sex discrimination. They've also said that it includes gay and lesbian people. And they've done so not just based on facts that talk about, you know, various statements that would be characterized as gender stereotyping, but they've said that inherently gay and lesbian people, transgender people, when you discriminate against them, you're doing it because of sex. Sex is inherently the reason behind that, the sex that was assigned to them at birth, because they don't look or act or love the way the employer thinks that they should, and that this is prohibited discrimination.
The Supreme Court is generally perceived as a more conservative body than it was in 2015 when it ruled in favor of gay marriage. Were you surprised that the court found in your favor on this case?
Pleasantly pleased with the response. I think the fact that it's a 6-3 decision, I think that's very significant. And you had Justice Gorsuch, who's known as a conservative justice, writing the majority opinion. But I think you also have to take into mind that the argument that was made before the court would probably be characterized as a conservative one or a textualist approach. What does sex mean under civil rights laws? And if you apply our understanding of what sex means and how the court has interpreted that in various cases in involving different forms of sex discrimination, this is a logical outcome. And Justice Gorsuch even said during the oral arguments, yeah, you know, just looking at the text itself, it's pretty clear to me this is sex discrimination. So we're very, very happy with this outcome. We think, though, it didn't necessarily have to take a progressive court or what they would term as a liberal court to reach this result, that even if you consider yourself to be a conservative jurist and you just look at the language itself, that clearly Amy was fired and Don Zarda was fired and Gerald Bostic were fired from their jobs because of sex.
There was some discussion by both the majority and the dissenting opinions about the social impact of providing Title VII coverage. Could you break down in layperson's terms what they're talking about there?
Title VII is the federal civil rights law that prohibits discrimination in employment on the basis of sex. And so what the court has done today is said that when you discriminate against a gay or lesbian person or a transgender person, you are discriminating in employment, you are discriminating against them on the basis of sex, which violates Title VII.
As I mentioned, Amy Stevens, who you represented in this case and worked with for years, died last month. What was your reaction when you heard that the court had ruled in her favor?
Very bittersweet. My heart was so full about the opinion, but also it was devastating that Amy's not here. This case meant so much to her, not for herself, but for her wanting to make a positive difference in the lives of other transgender people. And you mentioned your introduction about all the health problems she experienced, but she always wanted to be there to tell her story, to be the spokesperson for this case. And I spoke with Amy less than 2 weeks before she passed away. And she said that her one wish was that she would live long enough to be able to read this opinion. And I'm so sad and so sorry that she's not here today. I want to thank her, because we do owe it all to her for her courage and her bravery to stand up and to redress the wrong that was done to her and the wrong that has been done to so many transgender people.
I never met her, but it sounded like from the audio that we just played that she did understand the significance of this case for the future of protections of LGBTQ people in this country. Would you say that's true?
Absolutely. And, you know, I've spoken about this a few times. Her job meant so much to her. That was her purpose in life, to try to help people as a funeral director, as an embalmer. And when that purpose was taken away from her, that was devastating. But I like to believe that she found another purpose towards the end of her life as the face of this case, and telling her story, being involved, you know, going public, telling her story, sharing her life in order to benefit others in the transgender community. That responsibility meant so much to her. It was so meaningful. The day before the oral arguments, before the Supreme Court, Amy did back-to-back interviews, probably about 10 of them. And she did it until she got so sick, she had to go back to her room and lay down. But she was determined to do everything she could in her unfortunate short lifetime to try to make a better world for our community. And we will be forever grateful for her and for her legacy.
Just over the weekend, the Trump administration announced it's rolling back protections for transgender people in medical settings. And the rationale there was that the prohibition against sex discrimination in the Affordable Care Act did not apply to transgender identity. Do you think that today's decision could have a wider impact beyond workplace protections?
Absolutely. I think the rationale that the court uses and how they explain that this is sex discrimination, I think that can be applied to areas of public accommodations, to education, to housing, and I hope we'll be able to use this decision as that vehicle to challenge those other discriminatory practices. So I think in essence what the court said today renders the logic behind what the Trump administration did null and void.
Talk to us a little bit about the work that you see still remaining in terms of protecting LGBTQ people for housing, for healthcare, or maybe for education.
Well, we still have to challenge those practices because it definitely occurs. We know that transgender people, a large percentage of them, spend some certain time in their life experiencing homelessness because of housing discrimination. We know the problems in terms of trying to access health care and health insurance coverage, and just problems with, you know, sometimes in a restaurant or being in a shopping mall for transgender people. We know that there's issues regarding with education, being able to use restrooms in accordance with gender identity. So we still have a way to go. And I think our work is not done in the sense we still need to pass the Equality Act, the federal law that makes it clear that that sex includes sexual orientation and gender identity in areas like public accommodation. And we need to amend our state civil rights laws to have the explicit terms sexual orientation and gender identity. So that's not subject to judicial interpretation as to whether or not LGBT people are to be afforded the same dignity and same rights as other people. So we still need to have that happen.
In what you have read of the decision, are there specific areas of the law that you think have been opened up by the language that the majority used?
Well, I think the majority opinion talks about compassionate language about the lives of these individual people, Don Zarda, Gerald Bostic, Amy Stevens, and tells a little bit about their story. But I think it's the analysis explaining why this is sex discrimination. And whenever that's taken into consideration into the discriminatory act, that's prohibited. And I think that's a basis that we certainly can argue in other areas, in the areas of education, in the areas of housing, and certainly in public accommodations.
Jay Kaplan is staff attorney at the ACLU of Michigan, and he represented Amy Stevens in the case that was decided today. Jay, thank you so much. We really appreciate your time.
My pleasure.